This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I'll be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Amen.
All right, so I'm excited about today.
Are you?
Yes, because okay. I'm going to put you a little bit on the hot seat and pull from the well of wisdom that is within you.
Okay.
And but last week we started, or we shared that how it is important as Christians that we follow the word of God instead of following the ways and the patterns of the culture
the yeah.
and the world, right?
Right.
And our foundational scripture, we'll go ahead and just put that up. It is Romans 12:2. And it says, Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect.
And I think that's so important, because I think we're taught in this culture to copy what the world does.
Right.
You got it. And you have to be careful about that. If you do it God's way, you get God results.
Right.
And we have to understand, regardless of what the world is doing, regardless of what the culture is doing, you know, and those kind of things. I'm not saying there's nothing we can't learn out there.
Right.
You got it. But when it comes to God, when it comes to his word, when it comes to abiding by his word, I don't care if everybody goes in a separate direction. You have
right.
to go with the word.
Right, because the world would try to make you think that you're wrong because you don't do it their way.
Right.
But we cannot always follow that broad and that wide path
yeah.
that everybody seems to be going down.
Right.
We have to make sure that we are being led by God and his word and Holy Spirit, and not by what everybody else is doing, or because it seems popular, we should try it. But
yeah.
no, if it is not lining up with what the word of God says, then we have to make sure that we are abiding by what God says and not what the world says is acceptable.
The Bible says broad is the way that leadeth to destruction.
Right.
But straight and narrow is the way that leadeth to life everlasting.
Right.
And the writer says, few there be that find it.
Right.
And the reason is because the enemy is working overtime to get people, you got mm-hmm. it, to go on that broad way.
Right.
Because, you know, it's like if everybody's doing it, we ought to do it. It's going
right.
to be fun.
Yeah.
And
everybody else is doing it.
Yeah,
so, right.
but it's just, you know, typically if everybody's doing it, it's probably not the way
right.
to go.
right. right,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah, no. And so I think that, that's important. And
right.
so I forgot to put my disclaimer out there before we started. Isn't she pretty, y'all? Can't you give Lady a big hand? She's just so beautiful. My girl.
My guy.
Some people wonder why I got sunshine on a cloudy day.
Oh, boy.
And when it's cold outside, I got the month of May. Y'all already know. I guess you might say, what can make that brother feel that way? He's just talking about his girl. And every man should feel that way
yes.
about his wife. Amen? Amen.
Let me put out my disclaimer.
No. Come on, girl. Read.
Isn't he just amazing?
Read. Read, I know you.
We already read the scripture.
Huh?
We already read the scripture.
Read something else.
Oh, boy. Okay, we're going to have fun. Okay, so God's word has a lot to say about marriage, and if we follow its blueprint, we can have successful marriages.
Yes.
And although, again, the Bible is our foundation.
No doubt
about it. It is our
blueprint.
There are still some lessons that will only be learned by life experiences,
mm-hmm.
right? And just think about it. We've been married for 24 years, 25 in December.
Yes.
And I believe that we have a lot of experience in this way.
Right.
And we've accomplished a lot. We've had some highs. We've had some lows. But
mm-hmm.
with God's help, he's really helped us along the way.
Right.
And so, and one thing you always teach us is that when we know better, we can do better, right?
That's right.
So being that you've been married for almost 25 years
mm-hmm.
to one wife, we've been successful.
Right.
The scripture teaches us in Proverbs 99, I'm getting ahead of myself. Proverbs 99 says that we are to give instruction to a wise man, and he will be what? Still wiser, right?
Can we stop there? Because
yes.
sometimes people think, if we're not careful, we think we know it all.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like I do not know it all.
Right.
You
right.
got it. And I'm okay telling people.
Right.
If somebody says, well, Pastor, you know, what we do in 5 years from now, I don't know.
Right.
But I do know what God told us for this year.
Right.
And one thing my dad taught me years ago when I just first started out in ministry, he says, son, never stop learning.
Right.
And he said, and you can learn from anybody.
Anybody.
So I can learn from people older than me, but
right.
I can also learn from people younger than me.
Right.
And sometimes I think people, if we're not careful, and sometimes we let pride get in the way, we think that, you know, if I'm already wise, well, then why do I need to, you know,
right.
learn anything? But the scripture says that we are to give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser the more.
Mm-hmm.
You got it? And so that's why it's important that we never stop learning when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to relationships, when it comes to your profession, just anything.
Right.
Keep learning, keep growing.
Right.
If you when you get stuck, that's tough.
That is very
you know what I mean? Because like we live in this technology age,
right?
I talk to people all the time. Oh, you need to do this. And, you know, and I can tell they start backing up.
Right.
And I'm like, if you don't,
you got it.
You're going to be behind because you're going to go to the next job or want to try to make a career move.
Right.
And they're going to be like, well, do you know how to do this, this, and this? Oh, well, no, because I always only stuck with that.
Right.
And so, you know, it's important that we continue to learn.
But I think that's a good point because, again, nobody knows it all.
Right.
And we can always find a way to even fine tune or get better. Because,
again,
you may be good at what you do, but I promise you there's somebody that knows more than you know.
Absolutely.
So never close your lid thinking that I know what I'm doing. But you can always progress in life, no matter how old or young you are.
Now, the big part is this next part, because this teaches us if I'm willing to learn.
It says, teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning.
And I think that is the key.
Right.
You know, that is the key. You know, and of course, we know we're righteous because of the blood of Jesus. It's not our righteousness. It's his righteousness. You got it? But when and it's not gender specific, righteous man or woman, as the case may be.
Right.
And so when you teach somebody that's a believer, that's walking with God, you got it, they realize that they can always increase in learning.
Right. That's good. So here's my question for you. Because you are such a wise man and you have had some experiences in this way of relationships, if you were to tell, what is one thing you would tell a man before he got married?
And let's make sure that we explain to them that we did it today where there's nothing on the screen.
Yes, there's no notes.
And so Lady and I, just like a lot of times when we teach on marriage, we just like the flow and teach on relationships, because if you have that, then you feel like you need to go by and then we want to go away to it and come back. So Lady wanted to just go down the list with just some different questions.
It's coming off the dome this morning, y'all.
She's been using that lately. I'm like, where did you get that from?
Right off the dome. Okay, so.
It's a good thing you're pretty, girl. It's a good thing you're cute. Your cuteness be winning every time.
What does that mean? Okay. What is one thing?
I mean, you're a lot more. I'm not saying you're only pretty.
Oh,
you know that.
Oh, I understand that.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Okay. Let's focus. Your question. Okay. So, again, with the almost 25 years of marriage, okay, you've been a husband for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
You have this guy who comes to you, he's about to get married.
Okay.
What is the one thing you would share with him before he got married?
Well, number one, I'd share a lot of things.
One thing.
Because it's a whole lot to this.
Right.
But I understand. I got you. I think the first thing that every man has to realize is the incredible responsibility that he is about to take on.
Mm-hmm.
You got it. He has to understand that you know, if I'm gonna be a good husband, I gotta be a good man of God. And when I say man of God, I'm not talking about a preacher. You understand what I'm talking about? If you are a man in the room and you are saved, you are a man of God, right? And so that's what I'm talking about. And so he has to understand the responsibility that he has, because he's got to love, he's got to lead, he's got to protect, he's got to bring peace. He's got to bring security. You understand what I'm saying? And those kind of things. And so I think that, you know, somebody comes to me, Pastor, I'm get married. I'm like, are you sure?
Right.
You know, like, why do you want to get married? And then I would probably tell him, you know, this is a responsibility. Because now, you know, because as men, we are the head.
Right.
You got it? And so now we have a responsibility to lead our families. I can't, when it get tough, I just can't take off.
Fail.
You understand? Like we got to be in this to win it. I understand I have a responsibility to you. You got it? You know, then you start having, our children. I have a responsibility to our children.
Right.
You got it? And I have a responsibility to lead, to set the example, to show them what prayer looks like, to show them what coming to church looks like. You understand? Like, if nobody in the house, you know, is ready to go to church, I need to be ready to say, hey, come on, y'all. We heading to church tomorrow. You understand? So it is an incredible responsibility if I'm really going to lead my family, although we work together and we are one and we are a team, and you anywhere I'm weak, you're strong, and pick up the difference. The Bible still says that God has made me to be the head.
Right.
So to the best of my ability, I have to understand that I have got a responsibility. So if I'm not really in it, to be 100% responsible for my family.
Right.
You got, if I'm just getting in it, you know, because it's good emotions, if I'm just getting in it because, you know, I want to have sex and, you know, don't want to do it outside of God's will, don't want to go to hell,
well,
those are all bad reasons.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, half a paycheck, just
right.
Those are, you know, those are bad reasons.
Right.
You got it. I have to be in it because I believe, the Bible says when a man has found a wife, he's found a good thing. I believe that I have found the woman of my dreams that God has given to me, and now I'm committing to protect you, to love you, you know, and to lead you.
That's good. That's
yeah.
A good question. Good. And I think that's one of the things I think, especially for a woman, she looks for those things in a spouse.
Right.
Because, you know, a lot of women, especially in today's time, you know, like, shoot, I'm all right by myself.
Right.
So I'm not going to take on a headache when, you know, when I don't need to.
Right.
So, I mean, just seriously. So, you know, if I'm okay by myself, I want somebody who's going to help me, who's going to, like you said, protect me. If I got to go to the door at 3 o'clock in the morning because you sleep, that, I don't need you. I'm good. I'll be by myself, you know. But the thing is, you got to make sure.
And that, go check, babe.
Yeah, you can go check.
Let me know.
That's your job. You know, and you about to lose that job. Now I'm like.
Some of them, they don't know what you're talking about. She's not really talking to me.
Yeah, no,
it's
no,
something
no.
She saw yeah. somewhere.
Speaking of something I saw somewhere.
Oh, my goodness.
But no, I was reading, probably a blog or something earlier in the week. And one of the things I read, it was talking about in marriages, trust and love.
Okay.
And so the question was, is trust or love more important in a relationship? So what would you say? Is trust or love more important in a relationship? Because to me, I got to trust you. You know what I mean? If I'm going to love you. And, you know, if I feel like I can't let you go across the street, I, you know, it ain't going to work. But that's just me, and that's how I think, so I don't know.
Right. And I try to think, when I answer questions, I don't just, you know, and I get it, because some of y'all are right with her, you know, and I get it. I get it. You know, especially, you know, if you've ever had a tough relationship, even if it was just past boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And you have to realize that, you know, typically it works the other way because a lot of times we think we fall in love with somebody mm-hmm. and then we pursue it, right? So I think, you know, the best answer to what's more important in trust and love, I kind of think they're like peanut butter and jelly. They kind of go together. You understand what I'm saying? My thing is, you know, if I love you, then I trust you. Mm. You got it?
Yeah.
You know, if I trust you, then I love you. And I think that, and so what happens is you have to work on both
okay.
at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, you know, I think we, you know, by nature, we fall in love.
Yeah.
You got it. And that's good. Nothing wrong with that. But while we are falling in love.
The trust is.
Yeah. And we have to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
You got, before we go to the preacher and say, you know, he says, do you give this woman, you know, and, you know, do you take this man, you know, so yeah, okay, I love you, but there's a lot of stuff I need to know about you. I need to ask a whole bunch of questions, a plethora of questions.
Right.
I need to find out, and vice versa, on both sides.
Right.
But we need to find out about each other. I need to find out about your background. You need to find out about my background.
Right.
You got. I want to know, is your family crazy? You want to know, is my family crazy? You got.
I'm going to tell you up front.
You know, you know, you are crazy. So,
I'm a product of my family.
So, in that case, we all crazy. Anyways. And so, you know, but there's things that we need to know and we need to understand.
Right.
You got it. And we have to ask tough questions.
Right, right.
You got it. Because what happens is when we get into these deep conversations and ask tough questions and we start being honest with each other,
right.
Trust is being built.
That's good.
And if I trust you, I can confide in you.
Yeah.
You got it. If I trust you, you're a safe place for me.
Right.
I can tell you something, and you won't tell nobody in the whole world,
right.
Cause I trust you. And so, but I think a lot of times it's a product of me first falling in love with you. Because if I don't feel like I fell in love with you, I'm not gonna tell you any secrets of my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that it's kind of like peanut butter and jelly. It's got to go together. Well, years ago, there was y'all know I love commercials. Fruit and fiber, you know, why have one without the other? You got it. You can't have one without the other. And so I think that it kind of goes hand in hand.
Okay, so how do you help that couple who may be having issues with the trust component or the love component in their relationship?
Okay, are we talking about married folk?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, married folk.
Mm-hmm. Okay, all right. But, well, because if you talking about having an issue if I love him or her or not, you's married now.
Right.
So.
Because if you're not married, then.
Well, you can work on it.
Right.
You got it.
Right, yes. But so, I would slow down this process to marriage.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
If you're not married,
I would put on the brakes.
Right.
Right.
Correct.
You know, unfortunately, you know, when we meet someone and we think that this is the one and
right.
you feel all the emotions and that kind of thing, you know, unfortunately, we don't sometimes think logically.
Right.
And so we let our emotions lead us. So we
and
don't
ignore all those red flags.
Yeah, we don't check the boxes. We ignore the red flags. You know, women, for some reason, and I love y'all, y'all think y'all can fix us and you can't. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay.
And
okay.
That's just the truth. You know, so when Lady got with me, she needed to see all of me. Can I handle this joker? You like, can I work with him? You know,
right.
You know, she can kind of get me like she want me over the years, but at the same time, I'm gonna be who I am.
Right.
You
right.
got it. I'm a firm believer that, you know, we need to see each other upset with each other. You got it. Before we get married, before we say I do, you know, so that way you can be like, can I handle that level of crazy? You understand? I'm like, we need to do these
right.
kind of things. You got it. And so I think that it's important. So to answer the question, you know, a lot of times, you know, you'll hear someone say, you know, I love you, but I'm not in love with you, or I have fallen out of love with you. And I personally disagree with that. And I'll tell you a few reasons. Number one, everybody say number one.
Number one,
love is a choice. You got it. Love is a choice. It's not just an emotion. Love is a choice. We, you know, from the beginning with the fall of Adam, God did all kind of amazing things for us, and we just kind of slapped God in the face,
mm-hmm.
right? Fellowship with man had been broken. Watch this. But God made a choice.
Mm.
That he was going to love us in spite of,
right.
to the degree that he sends his only son to die for us. So love is a choice. A lot of times, you still do love that person, but because of all the craziness that you've gone through, you feel like it ain't there no more.
Right.
Because, you know, the feeling is gone, the
right.
emotion is
right.
gone, but the choice that you made, the decision that you made from the beginning has to stand.
Okay.
So that's the love side, okay? They didn't clap, so they might not like that part, all right? And so that's okay, though. That's all right. And so, no, don't give me no late clap. Don't give me no late clap. You trying to give me a late clap. And so.
Pity clap.
Yeah. Be quiet. Be quiet. All right. And so. Don't say nothing.
I'm not.
She didn't tell our business too much, but that's a little too much of our business. All right. And so. It's more than married couple. I'm in here. Okay. Okay. Cool. All right. Yeah. All right. Cool. Because there's been in times past and in series past when we're talking, you just blurt out and say something like, "Babe, why you say that?" And then I'm coming behind trying to fix it up. We got children in here.
I've moved on.
Okay. As far as trust, if trust has been broken. It is the responsibility of the person who broke the trust to restore that trust.
Mm-hmm.
Got it? And so what happens is if trust is broken, you have to now put some things in place to restore that
right.
trust. You got it? And it's up to the other person. What are the parameters for this trust to be restored?
Right.
And they work together to get that trust, because trust can be restored.
Oh, yeah, right.
People say it can't. It can. Absolutely,
right.
it can. It just depends on if you want it to be restored.
Right.
You got it? Because, you know, because if I trust you, I feel safe with you. If I trust you, I'll forgive you. If I trust you, I'll confide in you. But if I don't, I won't do those things.
Right.
So I have to build this trust. You
right.
got it? And trust can be built. And sometimes it takes time,
right.
but it can definitely be built.
Right. Okay, that was good. I like that. Okay, so one of the things you told the Lord shared with you for the congregation for this year is that this is the year that things change,
okay.
right? And so I remember we were talking with our women's Bible study. I was talking about how this year we need to be consistent because although, you know, God can miraculously change some things for us, you
right.
know, in our lives, that, you know, he has that power to do that. But for change to take place, a lot of times it requires consistent effort on our part. We have to be consistent in some things. We have to be disciplined in some things. So for change to take place or for consistency or for things to happen, why do you think it's important to remain consistent in our marriages? Why should we be consistent with our spouses? Why is that so important if we want to have success in our marriages?
Well, number one, consistency leads to success. Anytime you do something, you know, over and over and over, if you work out every day, you're going to get to that goal.
Right.
You got it. If every time you get paid, you're putting extra on that bill, on that credit card, if you keep being consistent, you're going to pay off the card.
Right.
So consistency, consistency repeated takes you to your end goal.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Also, talking about trust,
I just thought about that.
Consistency
builds
trust.
Mm-hmm.
You got it. And
yeah.
So I think that, consistency builds trust. When I leave the house, you don't worry about where is he going.
Right.
You understand? You actually know where I'm going. You understand what I'm saying? I'm coming to church.
Right.
You got it.
Yes.
I'm going to Harris Teeter or Dollar General. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's about it.
Yes,
you understand? Because we just really have chose to have a healthy lifestyle, so we don't go out to eat as much as we used to.
Right.
And those kind of things. So we eat at home. And we communicate.
Right.
You got it. And I think that even consistency in communication also builds trust. But the bottom line is, if you're consistent in anything and you repeat that consistency, you're going to meet your end goal. And so yes, I need to be consistent to build trust,
right?
So we can have a strong relationship.
Right.
But it's be even, and once that is good, you still need me to be consistent in so many different areas, because if we say, okay, this is the goal, this is what we're trying to make happen, then okay, we're both going to jump in and we're both going to do that consistency.
And I think, as you're talking, the word dependable comes to mind.
Oh, yeah.
That means I could depend on you because you have proven that you're going to be consistently there. I'm going to be at the top of your list.
Right.
I realize that, you are a person that stands by your word because you're consistent in what you do. You show what you say or you do what you say. So that makes me realize I can depend on you no matter what is going on, because he's been consistent in this. If I have something to come up, I can depend on you to even try to help make it better, because you've been, proven.
Well, consistency it brings dependability.
Mm-hmm.
Consistency brings accountability. And if you're really honest, consistency brings relief.
Oh, yeah.
You got it? Because my thing is, I don't have to worry.
Yeah.
You got it? And that is the key. I don't have to worry, because we built this relationship. There's this consistency. We know each other, so we're good.
Right.
And if anything comes up, we can talk.
Right.
We can communicate.
Right.
Right? And we can work it out.
That's good. That's good. You're so smart.
So are you, baby. So are you.
Let's see. You used the word accountability just
mm-hmm.
now. And so why do you think it's important for married couples to have that community of successful marriages? Why is that important? Birds of a feather flock together.
Right.
Right.
That's what I was thinking.
You spend time with people who have your answers, and you get away from people who don't know, who brings you pain. Right.
Right.
So why is it important that we have that community of people who are successful versus those people who don't even value the vow? So why is it important for us to, we went bowling with the couples a couple weeks ago for Valentine's.
That was so fun,
right?
Right.
So I think that also brings, I'm not in this by myself. There's
Right.
some other people that are, investing in their marriages as well. So why is that community important in marriage?
Well, okay, number one, you said the birds of a feather flock together.
Right.
All right? We all need examples and models to live by, right? We do that in the area of business.
Mm-hmm.
You got it. We do that in every area. You got it. When I first started my business, I got a mentor. Who was my mentor? Somebody who was already in that business, who was much further, who had already been very successful.
Mm-hmm.
You got it. And that's all mentorship is, taking somebody down a road that you've already been on. You know, it was, take it to the scripture. The Bible says that we follow those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So I need to, in the way of relationships, I need to, number one, see a good marriage so I can see what it looks like, right?
And
what's possible, exactly. So I need to see an example, and I need to keep that example before me so I can see what it looks like. I believe over the 16 years that we've been here, that is something that we have done for this ministry. You got it? Women can look at you and see what a good wife looks like. Men can look at me and see what a good husband looks like. And we're very open about our relationship and how we do. Everybody knows, you know, how I feel about you. You got it? And how I'm head over heels. You are my priority. You are my queen. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody knows, you got it, the lady, you know, whatever he likes, you know, he's going, he, you know, I mean, everybody knows these things. And I think that that is important, because if you hang around somebody long enough, you're going to pick up on what they do. You got it. And people do what people see. You got it. That's just a leadership tip that I learned years ago. And so, number one, we need to know what it looks like, you know, number two, so that way we can do it. And then it's just fun being around other successful, you know, marriages and couples, and, you know, because even if you're not there yet, you see what's possible.
Right. That's good. So the example is very important for us to
extremely.
Have. Extremely important that, again, we don't put on a facade, you know what I mean? But again, you just show what a genuine God-fearing relationship that's built on God, what it looks like.
Right.
My last question in this last 2 minutes.
We have a little bit longer. I forgot to tell Shelton. I forgot to tell him to add. You didn't add that few extra minutes, right? No, and that's not your fault. That's on me.
Okay.
All right. When we teach together, I add like an extra 4 minutes. It's 28, 29, 30. I think about 4 minutes. So we got about
You're
6 minutes.
You trying to say I talk a lot?
No.
Okay, I got it from you, because I didn't talk a lot when we first got married, did I? Like, before people, I was very quiet.
She's right.
But now I can't stop talking.
No. Well, because
it's funny, because Veronica said, oh, you did an hour Bible study. Remember? And she said, oh, you talked for a whole hour.
Well, you know, in the early days, it was very, okay, here's something good, husbands, and we'll get to your last question. Mm-hmm. In the early days, it was important for me that you understood that, you know, okay, yeah, quote unquote, by bylaws and all this stuff, I'm the quote unquote senior pastor. On paper, you can only have one, you know, but we're pastoring this church together.
Right.
We do ministry together. Right. You got it. So your voice is just as critical as my voice, because we're one.
Right.
You got it? Even though you submit to me, you got, and that's that's why it works.
Right.
But it's important. And so in the early days, you know, you didn't want to get up and teach, and you didn't want to do those kind of things. And I pushed you to do it because I knew where we were going. And I knew the importance of making sure that when we got to where we are, people don't see me here and you here, but they see us right here.
Right.
You got it? That we're neck and neck.
Right. And then the push wasn't that I wasn't capable.
Oh no!
I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, you were more than capable. But I think sometimes you're not wanting to do it. You got it.
It took me out of my comfort zone.
Right. And then you tried to be like, well, babe, I can't do like you. I'm like, you don't need to do like me.
And that was the problem.
And one thing the Holy Spirit told me was just let her flow to however she flows. Because I'm very systematic. Y'all know that. I'm point one, point two, and point
three.
Y'all already know, right? You know,
you may get 1 point from me.
Yeah. Or 10 pages. No, I'm not being funny.
Right, because I have to write everything down.
Sometimes lady will send me her lesson, you know, if I'm not going to be here. She's like, hey, tell me what you think. And I'm like, that's a lot of lesson, babe, that you only got 28 minutes to teach.
But pastor only has like 3 things wrote down. I'm like, how are you going to talk for 28 minutes?
Thy word, oh Lord, have I hit it in
my
heart.
I got the word too, but Lord, I need to come up. But we were different. But honestly, even in marriages, a lot of times we compare ourselves to our spouses, and that is not good.
No.
Because I felt that I would not.
That's good.
I felt that I would not be received because I wasn't your way.
Right.
And it was just an inward battle that I had with myself, that I just had to get out of that whole mental complex that I was putting myself in.
Yeah. And my thing is, I was going to be your biggest cheerleader.
I knew that.
You got
but
it.
That did not give me no encouragement.
And so I would sit there, and I'm a amen everything you say. You
every
understand?
Word I said.
Yeah. And, you know, and because I've been in church all my life.
Right.
Everybody going to look at me, whether it's a guest speaker, whether it's you.
Whether I'm wrong, they going to, you know, right.
Everybody's going to look at me.
Right.
You got it. But you know that I got you.
Right.
I don't care what's going on, because you ain't going to get up here and teach no false doctrine.
Right.
You know the word.
Right.
It's in you like it's in me.
Right.
We both came up in ministry.
Right.
You know, I mean, when we're home, you just tell all kinds of scriptures. I'm like, just get up and do the same thing.
It's
right.
Dear friend.
Yeah. And so that was, you know, that was my thing to just let you flow however,
in my
you know,
vein.
In your own way. and do your own thing, so that that way everybody would see us coming in ministry together.
Right.
And I think that was key. There was something I was going to say, but if I remember, I'll pick it back up. But I was talking to the brothers, but it's vitally important. Yeah, it's vitally important that you push your wife. You got it. It's vitally important that you are the encourager of your wife. You got it. That you remind your wife. First of all, every day you tell her you love her and do it several times, whether it's through a text, through a call. Don't go a day without kissing. Don't go a day without touching. Like, don't do that. Like, you know, that, I'll just be honest, that keeps the devil out of your relationship, all right? And so you, that stuff is so vitally important. You know, and of course, we know women need to do that for men. Typically, women do that by nature. And so it's very important, you know, that we push our wives and we encourage them and we let them know that they can do absolutely anything. And because a lot of times, if, you know, it works both ways, if you believe in me, then I feel like I can do it.
Right.
If I believe in you, then you feel like you can do it. And so that's you know, that's vitally important.
Right. You shared earlier about how the husband and the responsibility or the role of the husband is very important.
Mm-hmm.
So why is stewardship, or what is your perspective on stewardship and finances in the marriages? Or in the marriage, not marriages,
okay.
It's one marriage.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, money and sex are the two biggest things in a relationship. Bottom line, people say it's not, it is. All right. If you say, no, it's this, if you go back to it, you got it. A lot of times that's what it is, all right? And so you need to handle both of them very carefully. All right. In the relationship as it is with money, you got to do it God's way. I mean, that's the bottom line. So both the husband and the wife have to be in agreement that we're going to do it the way the Word of God says. All right. That's just about not the way pastor says, the way the Word of God says. All right. And so I think that is key. When you talk about how to handle money, there's several ways we can handle. Let's just talk about, because, you know, money's funny. You like people funny with their money,
right?
When we got together, you know, it's almost been 25 years. You know, we loved each other. We had talked a lot, communicated a lot. Neither of us really had a lot of money. You had some money in savings. I had some money in savings. You know, when I proposed to you, the next day I went out and, you know, bought a condo. You got it. And so, you know, I had some money in savings. You had some money in savings. So what we did is we just started working on buying the furniture and, you know, buying everything we could. We just put everything in the same pot.
Right.
But we agreed on that.
Right.
And so that's why we did that.
Right.
It doesn't matter how you do it as long as there's agreement, because agreement is key and agreement is the keeper of peace. I'll be honest with you. The way we did it, I used to always think was the best way, right? The further we go in this culture, you got it, it may not be the best way for everybody,
right.
Because you got a lot of ladies like, I want my own money. And that's okay.
Right.
You got it. And a lot of men, I want my own money. Because with us, like, you're going to get what you already know. You got it.
I'd rather use your bank account any day.
Well, you know what's funny? Lady can get what, you know, within our means,
right.
Of course, you know, lady can get whatever she wants, right?
And I do.
And yeah. And so, but the thing is, like, let's say she's going to go shopping, right? She wants me to go shopping.
I do.
And I'm like, babe, get whatever you want. No, no, no. Tell them why.
I get exactly what I want, because in my mind, when I'm by myself, I'm going to be considerate. I won't spend as much. You know, I'm just going to get this. But I'm with him. Shoot, I get twice the things. Like, seriously, like, God is my witness. We could be in a store, right?
Well, we was with Ben and Riley.
Yeah, what time?
At Saks in Raleigh.
And so there was a pair of shoes, right? And I love these pair of shoes. And there was a color scheme. It was two different colors. I'm like, man, I had one on one foot, one on the other. I didn't know which color I liked the best. What he say? Get both of them. So what did I do? I got both of them. So, yeah, you go shopping with me anytime, anywhere.
But listen, y'all, it's because we could afford to do it.
Right.
So you give to God.
Right.
You pay your creditors.
Right.
You save money. You enjoy the rest.
Right.
So our rest is a lot because we've learned this giving thing.
Right.
I'm telling you, giving is a life hack.
It is.
I don't care what anybody tells you.
Right.
God puts his super on your natural.
Right.
A lot of times we don't want to give because we think that we're losing. Giving equals gaining. And when you do it and you trust God,
right.
He breathes on
he
it.
He does.
That's the bottom line.
Right.
Right? And so, but the thing about it is, you know, she could have got both without me.
I know, but you know how it is. You're just thinking, well, I didn't want to spend so much.
And it's not like I'm like, how much did you spend? Let me see the receipt.
But in my mind, I'm like, okay, I know it costs this much. I'm going to have to like, in my mind.
Yes, in your mind.
Right. But let's talk about even like the woman who, and I think for me, again, this is just my mind. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I know I don't nag you about stuff.
No.
So I feel that because I'm not a nag, you don't mind because I'm such a good wife. Yes, go get what you want, babe.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I think it's important that we don't be those nagging wives that's always complaining about this or always dropping hints here and there, because I think it makes you want to do stuff because you don't feel aggravated with me. You're not frustrated with me because I haven't caused you any issues or pain.
Well, that's a good place to clap, number one. And number two, y'all, that's actually scripture. The Bible said it's better for a man to live what, on a house on a rooftop
right.
than to live with a nagging wife. Right. I mean, just that's the Bible.
Right.
All right. I'm sure they got some stuff to say about us, but we're talking about new nagging wives right now, right? But watch this. Here's the balance in that.
Right.
She don't have to nag because I'm going to do whatever I can within my
that's
power.
Yeah.
You got it? I'm gonna stay in my lane.
That's
you got it. Like, you know, I got friends, and some of my friends got double, triple, quadruple than I do. We never compare.
Never.
You got it. Like, that's cool. I'm happy for you. Mm-hmm. I'm legitimately. I know where we are.
Right.
I know what we can do.
Right.
You got it. You know me. I like to save a certain amount.
Right.
You know. So like, as long as and so my thing was So years ago, I knew how much I wanted to save. I knew how much I wanted to put away and those kind of things, but I also knew that I needed to take care of her. So I just said, Father, I thank you that my faith is I'm always going to be able to do what I want to do, plus have a whole lot to make sure that I take care of her. I couldn't do that in the early days. You got it? In the early days, every Friday or every other Friday, whenever lady got paid, she would come. You remember back in those days, we had paper checks that
right.
they get. They didn't have, you know, all the stuff we got
deposit.
Now. Yeah. And so she'd bring her paper check. She signed the back of it. I'd deposit it. I'd pay all the bills. Rarely did lady get to go to the nail shop. You got it. She'd go to Dollar General, get that little 99-cent nail polish and that nail polish remover that stunk the whole house up. You understand what I'm saying? You know, rarely did she go get her hair did. You know, her sisters were, well, not Veronica, her other sister. I don't want to tell Velvet's name because I don't want nobody to know who she is. You know, and, you know, she'd get her perm and, you know, I'd be hearing stuff burning up. I didn't know you could burn somebody's hair, you know.
Yes.
And so, you know, but lady did that consistently
right.
for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You got it? But my thing was she never, ever complained. Never. So my thing is, it's on. Because I learned, my pastor done taught me faith.
Right.
So I know anything's possible.
Right.
You got it? So I done made my confessions. You got it? And you know, one of my marriage confessions, I make it to this day, that, you know, we don't fuss with, you know, we work together as a team. We're an unstoppable force. I watch my tone when speaking to her. You got it? We don't fuss. We don't bicker. We don't argue. We are truly in love. We are walking in our wealthy place. You know, but back in the day when we didn't have anything, I just say we're millionaires, which is crazy because we needed money. We couldn't make it, you know, we needed till the fifth to pay the rent. You got it. But God flipped that thing around, opened businesses, made millions. So I changed it from we're millionaires to we're multimillionaires. You got it. I done got into crypto now. And now I say, Father, I thank you for a consistent flow of millions in the crypto space. You got it. Why? And oh, man, oh, we don't have time. I got to answer some more questions, huh? Can I tell him something real quick?
Sure. It's your show.
Okay. No, it's God's show.
Well, not show, but
yeah.
Yes, your stage.
So. I need y'all to understand something real quick. We're gonna leave in a second, all right? Y'all get anything out of this? God, watch this now. God operates in eternal now. Everybody say eternal now.
Eternal now.
The Bible says that a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as a day, all right? Sometimes we let time kind of mess with us. You know, we get anxious. That's why the Bible says don't be anxious for anything, you know, and all those kind of things. But you have to understand that the way God operates is in an eternal now. He always operates in faith, and faith is always in the present. So one thing I wanted to make sure I tell you guys, when I make my confessions, got it? I'm not a multimillionaire yet in the crypto space, all right? But the it's part of the process of faith that you call those things that be as though they, right? And so what happens is I don't say, you got the first time I did ask God, you got it, for the favor, for the wisdom, for the knowledge, for the connections that I need to make multi-millions and to make millions in the crypto space. But after I asked him, I only have to ask him once. From that point on, I believe, I receive that it's done. So then I thank him from that, because I don't need to go and ask God again. If Hannah asked me today, hey, Dad, can I get $100? I say, yeah, baby, after church, I'll go to the ATM, I'll get it to you. She when in between services, she's not going to come up again and say, hey, Dad, can I have $100? Am I right about it? Yeah, and okay, because she knows I'm a man of my word, all right? She's smiling about that $100, all right? And so what happens is that's how God is. And so you have to understand, because he's in the eternal now and faith is present, I don't confess I'm going to be, I confess that I am, all right? And so I confess, Father, I thank you that I'm a multimillionaire in the crypto space in Jesus' name. And so for our ministry, we are working the natural process. We're trying to get under the million, right? But I confess every single day, Father, I thank you that WLCC is totally debt free. So I'm not saying what's going to be. I'm calling those things that be not as though they were. I confess that it is right now, and I act like it is right now. And in your life, whatever it is that you're believing for, you have to confess that it is right now. Start acting like it is right now, and thank God that it's already done. Does that make sense? All right. Okay. Well, I was excited about that. Okay.
He's a God. He's a God of the eternal now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 Time and space.
Right.
That doesn't mean anything to God.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? And so we have to understand that.
Right.
And if we're not careful, you know, because we are not yet in eternity. Mm-hmm. You got it. We have to understand eternity already belongs to us.
Good.
Because we've accepted Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You got it? And so what happens is we're tripart being. We're spirit, soul, and body.
Right.
You are a spirit, which is eternal.
Right.
You possess a soul. You live on the inside of a physical body. So yes, although one day our physical body is going to decay and go back to the ground, because we're saved, once we close our eyes here on earth, we're going to open our eyes in heaven. You got it? So what happens is we act like the word is so, and we declare it like it's so, and we walk in it like it's so,
right,
even if it's not yet.
Right.
Because if we do that, we understand it's going to come to pass.
And that's why it's important to be in agreement with your spouse.
Yes.
Because,
oh, my gosh.
Because one person
and stop
can't,
fussing and right, arguing.
Right. Because one person can't be in faith. Another person is just constantly speaking doubt. We ain't going to never make no $1 million. No.
Right.
You can't be talking like that.
Mm-mm.
You can't be talking like that. You cannot speak that way. So we have to make sure that we are both confessing the word of God. So if one person is not speaking faith, it's up to the other person to get the other person in faith. No, we're going to only confess the word of God.
I mean, y'all, we were living from paycheck to paycheck.
Right.
But we understood the word of God,
right,
and what was possible for our lives.
Right.
We had one car, y'all, just one.
Right.
It was a little Fred Flintstone car. The reason I call that, because it sat so low to the ground. You know, Fred Flintstone, them, they just used their feet. If you took out the floorboard, you could just use your feet. Bah, 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 bah. You know, it was just a small little car. You got it. We were renting a little house, you know, and when the first came, if I didn't have the rent, I would call the lady and tell her, hey, Stephanie, I don't have it, but, you know, I'm going to have it by the 5th. Her name is Stephanie. Her husband's Alex. They're an architect. They live on Creedmoor Road in Jacksonville. This is a testimony, not a testifony. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not lying to you about this. And she would be like, James, you have to the 5th. Your contract's, I say, I know, but that's the grace period. I told you I'd pay you by the 1st.
Right.
So my integrity, and every time by the 5th,
right,
we would, you know, and what happens is every time we got paid, we'd always give to God first.
Yeah.
I'd always bless my man of God, and then we would pay our bills, and then we would, you know, fill up the gas tank. You got it. Thank God that little car, it would go the whole week. Praise the Lord. We would get grocery, and sometimes we'd only
have baked chicken legs and rice.
Yep.
Oh my God.
And because back in them days, chicken was cheap.
It was real cheap.
You got it. And rice was cheap.
Yes.
And we just bought them big old bags of rice.
Yep.
You know, because if she said, we don't need no rice this week. Praise the Lord. We just need chicken. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And but we watch this. Proper stewardship produces increase.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we did. We didn't fight about it. I remember her, I call him daddy, you know, her dad, I, you know, mom and daddy, same for me. And so they would let us know, we going to Georgia, we going to Myrtle Beach. Boy, I'd have my calculator. I'd be like, sorry, babe, you know, we can't go, you know. And daddy would always be trying to, I give you a little on it. I'm like, no, I mean, I appreciate it.
Right.
You got it. But my thing is, we got to figure out how to work this thing. I mean, I can't have him bailing me out all the time, because then he's going to become a crutch. And then I'm going to be dependent on him then,
right,
instead of dependent on God.
Right.
Yeah, now don't get me wrong. There's times they did stuff for us.
Oh,
and
yeah, right,
you know,
right.
You know, my pastor, who just happens to be my father-in-law, and he was my pastor long before he was my father-in-law, once we got married, they would take us to Piccadilly in the mall in Jacksonville every Sunday. He always paid. And to me, it was the whole family. That was like, you know, 6, 7, 8 of us. And he was paying for everybody. And I was always amazed he did it every week and never complained. And I said, one day I'm going to do that. That's people don't understand. If you've ever gone out to lunch with me, there's a couple of y'all I've let pay, you know, and I don't like to, but I've let y'all pay a few times. You got it. But this is my thing. I saw him do that.
Right.
And I released my faith. And it's not a pride thing, so I want you to understand this. But I said, Father, I thank you that one day I will always be able to go to the lunch, dinner. I don't care if it's 20 people at the table, and be able to pay it and it not affect us. You know, because of what my man of God did for me, we follow those who through faith and patience. It set an example to me. And so now that's just one of my joys to pay for others. Why? It to me is gratitude because of what God has done for me.
Right.
It's not that I don't think your money's good or anything like that. It's gratitude because
there was a time
we could not do that. And I'd almost feel bad.
Yeah.
And I'd tell her dad, like, you know, thank you. Like, oh, no problem, Mac. And it wasn't no problem to him. But there was times I felt bad because, you know, y'all brothers know how I can be, especially when, you know, you ain't doing so good. You almost feel bad.
Right.
You know, it's like, well, dog, I have to be able to at least tell him, well, I got me in contact. You understand what I'm saying? But it wasn't always like that.
Right.
You know, and so my thing is once he taught, and Pastor Taylor, I've got a lot of great men of God in my life who have done a lot of great things for me, and I honor all of them. I understand I am where I am because of everything they poured into me. You know, my father taught me holiness. You got it? My father taught me righteousness. He taught me the healing and miracles aspect of my life and those kind of things. He preached on faith, but, you know, being a kid, but when I got to her father, he's the first one that really began to teach me faith. You understand what I'm saying? And that is what changed my life. And that is why I teach you faith. Because one thing my pastor taught me years ago, let's play something, Maestro, we got to go. I can give you a fish and feed you a meal. Or I could teach you how to fish and feed you a lifetime. And I think that's the difference. Lady and I are trying to teach you so that way you've got this thing for life.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Yeah, and so when it comes, let me just give them my thing real quick. I know we got to go. So when it comes to handling money, it doesn't matter about bank accounts. If you want, you can do it like this. The husband can have his, the wife can have theirs, then have one in the middle where you put the money in, where y'all agree on who's going to put what in. It might be based on how much I make. If I make more than you, I might put a little bit. We agree on it, we put that in, and we pay the bills with that. And it might be a good idea out of every check to take a little bit because you want to have your own savings, that's fine. Then have a joint savings where we have an emergency fund where every time we get paid, we both going to put $50 in it. And we're never going to touch it unless the tire blows out, unless something, you know, does like that. Tithing is critical. It's a life hack. Bottom line, tithing is critical. God will never forget you if you tithe. That's what the Bible says.
Yep.
So when you get in your toughest
That's
moments,
good.
God will not forget. There's times in the natural where it seems like it's not going to look good, right? And the devil will make you think it's not going to look good. And God looks down and says, oh, no, we're in covenant.
Right.
And so because we're in covenant, it doesn't matter what it looks good or whether it doesn't look good, I'm going to breathe on that and you shall lack nothing. Okay.
I love that tithing covers all areas of our
Every
lives.
Every area, not just
our
money.
Finances,
not just
our
money.
Finances.
You got it? And so sacrifice sets in motion the supernatural. I hope you're ready to sacrifice next week. If you notice, Pastor only taught one lesson on giving this entire year, and I really planned on doing much more. It just didn't flow that way. But I'm just believing that the Holy Spirit is going to talk to you and that you are going to just obey God. Because at some point, you gotta learn how to hear from God for yourself. Isn't that right? At some point, you got to learn how to just obey God. All right? There must be agreement between the husband and the wife to live below your means. Even if that means we got two brand new cars, we need to sell one of them. You got it. And, you know, and let's have a nice car and, you know, just get a used one. You got it. Go buy one for $3,000, right? And then, you know, brothers, I'm going to drive the one for $3,000. Let her drive the good one. It's going to keep me in faith because I understand I will not always be driving this.
Right.
But we're working stewardship. You got these principles and it's going to produce increase. All right. Last thing, a budget is so important. Why? 'cause I got more than enough. Yeah, but if you don't budget, you're going to blow it. When you budget, you tell your money where it's going to go. So I tell my money, this is going to God. This is going to my creditors. This is going to savings, and I'm going to enjoy the rest. Yeah. Does that make sense? Y'all get blessed? All right. All right. Let's pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, thank you for your word today. I pray and I cover every couple in this room and online, bind the hand of the enemy that's not like God, that tries to come against these relationships. Satan, the Lord, rebuke you at the authority of the name of Jesus. And so, Father, I thank you for what you're doing, and I declare that the best is yet to come. I thank you that they will be not just hearers of the word that they heard today, but they will be doers, and their life will get better and better because of the word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, give the Lord a big praise in the house.